This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, here we are. We're out here at Alan A. Casino in Ridgefield. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, where they have wing specials going on. Tom Brady just rolled in. He's got kind of that strut.
Tom Brady in a boot, no doubt. Who
gained
knew?
Gained a little weight.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you're outside of the game. You let yourself go a little bit. You know, it happens.
Hey, Red Danny.
Anyway, we're out here partying. We'll be here till 7. Chiefs, Saints. And, of course, it is Oregon, Ohio State week.
Yeah.
Which we will get into more beginning tomorrow as we are meandering through the weekend that was in sports.
Biggest game ever at Autzen Stadium.
I think so. So a couple of things real quick to wrap up our college football cabaret. We've got our Stockwatch coming up next. We'll get some NFL stuff coming up as well. But Vanderbilt, we were talking about Vanderbilt. And you know, I asked the question, when's the last time Vanderbilt had a big win? And you said never. That is actual fact.
Yeah.
They were, I just read the stat, they were 0-60 against the top five.
Yeah, not top one.
0-60.
Top five.
Yeah, never won.
No. And they have plenty of chances to play top five teams because they're in the SEC. They don't win.
I think I might get a Vanderbilt jersey.
the mighty Commodores?
Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Diego Pavia. He was great.
Yeah, did you see some of the interviews after?
He's wonderful.
That was pretty cool. Because that kid's going nowhere. In football. But
he's probably really smart. He'll probably own you and I someday.
He will have that for a lifetime.
So cool.
You know, I've never been a part of something like that. Like, I played at a school that's not Vanderbilt. I mean, BYU's a pretty solid program.
Do you want to hear that post-game interview?
Yeah. Let's hear a little.
This is the quarterback at Vandy, by the way.
It's literally all God's timing, literally from the jump. God gave me a vision when I was a little kid. And he don't let back any promises. It's God's time. Like, I'm super thankful for guys like Eli Sowers. Man, that kid's incredible. The ref bar team, look at this. Danny,
Diego, what were you saying to your team to finish this game?
Games like this change your life, you know what I mean? It's all about hype nowadays, and I don't like it like that, but it's a reality of NIL and all that stuff, but You know, I just stay grounded, be where my feet are, and every single day tomorrow I got to work on Kentucky.
You had 70 family members here. What did it mean to do this in front of them?
Yeah. Where's the family? Where's the family? Come on.
70 family members?
That's awesome.
It is, and it is all God's timing. You know, I've been meaning to talk about that.
God wanted Vanderbilt. It's been 20 years in the making that God laid out that plan.
God's timing.
You know, like I said, I came from a school that was we were a top 25 school most years, but we certainly weren't, you know, we're not competitive with those programs. And you know, I remember beating the Pat Tillman Arizona State team. I remember beating Tuiasosopo Sopo at UW. Beating Mississippi State when Mississippi State was a really good team. That was like Fred Smoot. And that's not Alabama. You know, that's not number one. But I remember winning those games as a team that you weren't really supposed to be there, right? And those are lifetime memories. And I can only imagine what it's like to be at a program like Vanderbilt that never does that, and then to not beat UW when they are top 15 or 10 or, you know, Arizona State, but to actually beat Alabama, I played against Alabama and Sean Alexander. I can assure you we didn't win. And so in order to have that, like, I don't even know what that must be, because look, Vanderbilt's not going anywhere. Maybe they get to a crappy low-level bowl game and that kid's not going to go on and play in the NFL, but he'll have that for a lifetime. And that's still, even in the world of NIL, when people say college football is ruined and, you know, it's and by the way, the House settlement was tentatively approved today, so kids in college could be getting paid by the schools as early as next year. So for anyone saying that college football is ruined forever and that there's no more amateurism and this and that, look at that. That still exists in college football, and that's what makes that sport great.
Yeah, I don't – that whole line of thinking is just sour grapes because,
yes.
I mean, it's better than ever.
Yeah.
It's so good right now.
Yes.
And I don't know if there is more parity, but it certainly feels like there's more parity.
Yeah.
Teams like Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
Yep.
I don't know. That's just somebody who just doesn't like change and is extrapolating it way out further than it needs to be extrapolated. Look, college football is great right now, and Vanderbilt beating Alabama is a testament to that. They're basically, I was reading about Vanderbilt now, because we have to read about them now.
Yes, we do.
We are now forced to consume Vanderbilt.
You must reconcile your
football content.
The greatness that is Vanderbilt.
They're basically a New Mexico State reboot. Did you know that?
I did not.
Well, Jerry Kill is on their staff.
Yeah.
And Jerry Kill, if you remember, he was one of those coaches who just he was the head coach at New Mexico State. He flat out quit.
Yeah.
He said, nah, I don't really care to do this. Well, he is now on the Vandy staff, and the Vandy coach he hired Jerry Kill, and he rated all the New Mexico State guys. And that's basically their whole staff is the New Mexico State team with Jerry Kill. And I guess he's killing it.
So New Mexico State just beat Alabama.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Is that worse than Vandy beating Alabama or better?
I think that's worse.
Is it?
That's worse.
Bigger upset.
Because at least Vanderbilt at least Vandy has, you know, money.
You know who goes to Vanderbilt in 3 weeks?
Who goes to Vandy?
Texas.
Oh, boy. If you ever want someone's head to explode, although, you know, if you're Sark, that's probably the best thing that happened to you, because I told you, Vandy can cause, the way they play can cause people problems, right? They have two big wins. They've been close in a couple other games. Sark can now grab his team when they're getting, are they playing in Vandy? Are they playing in Nashville?
Nashville.
That's one of those you can grab your team, slap them around, because I guarantee, no matter what DeBoer said, Alabama that's not a game that you are up for. And then before you know it, you're in a dogfight and Alabama couldn't dig their way out.
Do you think Sark's ever seen a quarterback like Diego Vieira before?
Never.
You mean Diego Pavia?
Whatever his name
is. Him too.
Pavarotti? What?
Whatever that guy is. I don't know. I'll never speak of him again. But
it's all heart. It's all heart.
God's timing.
It's God's timing.
The other upset that we need to get to, Tennessee lost. They went to Arkansas and got beat.
On quite possibly, and I know that Nico...
what's his name? Just call
Iyama Leava.
Iyama Leava.
Yeah, Nico.
Just call him Nico.
Nico. I don't know if I've ever seen a worse play to end a game in my entire life. Do you know of what I speak?
Well, he didn't throw it away.
He didn't throw the ball. So it was 19-14, right? The last play of the game, I got to see where exactly he was on the field. But it wasn't like he was at his own 20.
It was like that 25.
Yeah, like... And he runs out of bounds.
Yeah, he just throw it up.
With zeros on the clock.
Yeah. Zeros on the clock.
And they'd been up on the clock for like 5 seconds.
I've never seen anything like
it. Well, he is a freshman.
I don't care.
And it was Diego Valeri.
It was at the 20-yard line. It was 4th and 5 at the 20.
Portland Timbers players.
He snaps the ball with 6 seconds left. He scrambles around. He rolls out of the pocket. And as he's rolling, you're like, all right, you know, even if there's 7 guys in the end zone and 1 of yours, you just throw it out. Well, he just ran out of bounds.
You know that a lot of these guys are dum-dums, right?
I don't care. I've never seen any. Have you ever in your life seen someone on the last play of the game, 20 yards away from winning the game, and decides, you know what, don't want to throw a pick. Might mess up my stats. I'll just run out of bounds. Never seen anything like it in my entire life.
I bet we have seen that.
I don't recall
but
it.
But I can't come up with an example.
I was sitting there in front of my TV and was just kind of staring at it, and I was like, what did I just
see? Can I also just state, too, that Arkansas, what were they doing scoring a touchdown there at the
end? I don't know. It made no sense.
Tennessee wanted them to score a touchdown so that they could come back and try to win the game.
And they had a chance.
And they just Arkansas was like, okay, you want us to score?
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah,
we'll score. Yeah. And they almost came back and beat them.
Damn near it.
All they had to do was kneel and then kick the game-winning field goal.
It's over. Yeah. I mean, that's like Baltimore. Yeah,
what are they doing?
I don't know. They're on the Sean McDermott game management plan.
Yeah, that
or
was
the
bad.
Mario Cristobal. I mean, same sort of thing. Sometimes coaches' decisions are just baffling. Still not as baffling as end of the game, last play, 20-yard line, and you just run out of bounds.
You know what they call that Arkansas coach?
Pittman.
Great.
Sam Pittman.
His name is Sam Pittman. Do you know what they call him? It's the best nickname in college football.
What's his nickname?
Boss Hogg.
Sui.
That's a great nickname.
I do like what Arkansas's got going on.
Well, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
I've heard another one for him that isn't so flattering because he's kind of got some male uptops going on. I've heard him as Sam, you know, men.
Oh, well, that's, you know.
Well, come on, guys. What are we even doing here?
Yeah, that's a little, you know, it's a little poor form.
Well, yeah, I didn't come up with it.
Yeah, you brought it up.
Stopping the showdown with insults. Not on this show.
Yeah, and by the way, I looked it up. And, you know, it's, you know.
Well, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. He looks like Boss
Hogg. He had to get off of social media last year because of the social media bullying that was going on.
Hey, thanks.
Well, let me just state for the record, you know, this new, and it's not new, but the, what would you call them? The new tech fabric that most golf polos are made out of, you know, like a dry fit.
Yeah, like dry fit, yeah.
You know, they're not for everybody. Sometimes they hug you in all the wrong places, and maybe Sam goes with more of a traditional cotton.
Or maybe he goes with the Bielema poncho situation.
Yeah, because I, you know, now upon looking at it, it's
look, I don't care what he wears.
It's a rough look.
But he tried to blow that.
Yes, he did. Good thing for him, Tennessee just decided to not.
He's no Kalen DeBoer.
Throw the ball
wearing T-shirts. Did you see that?
It's not as yeah.
So well, now Kalen DeBoer loses one game,
and now it's
it's like he wears a T-shirt on the sideline. Could he not be more professional?
Somehow Colin Cowherd is going to be so bothered by this. Who's the guy, who's the big fat guy that wears the sleeveless tees? Is that the Charlotte coach?
Biff Poggy or Biff Poggy?
Yeah, yeah. I think he coaches, I think it's the Charlotte 49ers, right? He just wears like a Who Farted T-shirt with like the sleeves cut off. He just, it's something else. Mm. So, I don't know. Mm. But hey, when you're winning, you can wear a T-shirt. When you lose to Vanderbilt, Kalen DeBoer,
put
a damn polo on next time.
At least a collared shirt.
Something.
Okay. Our college football cabaret will continue later. A huge win by Washington, equally huge loss by USC. And we'll get into some Heisman talk as well. But that'll be later because up next is our Stockwatch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
That's right. Sometimes marriage doesn't work out.
No, it does not.
And if that's you, you might want to call 1-800-DIVORCE.
It's a dicey proposition at best.
That's right. The stats bear that out.
It's the line for me to gamble. We're in a casino, so, man, if you like to gamble here, is this where I gamble away half my stuff?
1-800-DIVORCE. Okay, Buck is back in the studio. We're out here at A&A, and he has prepared our stack watch.
Yes.
Yeah, depending on how well you guys are or are not able to hear this stuff, I may be narrating some of it, but I think you're going to be familiar with all of it. So we will start off in Nashville for Vandy, Alabama, and the final call there.
Under center from the 27. He takes the snap.
That's going to do it.
Vanderbilt
biggest win in Vanderbilt history.
Is this real life? You bet. Vanderbilt beats Alabama for the first time in a generation. The greatest moment in Vanderbilt football history. Tonight at First Bank Stadium. The final 3 seconds off the clock. That is going to do it. Storm the field, Doors. Storm the field. For the first time, Vanderbilt knocks off the number one team in America. My goodness, what a night. Vandy fans, have your moment.
Always good to get the local call on those moments.
Can I ask a very dicey question?
Ask away.
Was he...
I don't know what was happening there.
Was that?
It was a little, he is having the time of his life.
Well, on fire emojis.
It's Vanderbilt radio. I don't know if they're getting the best and the, you know, the brightest. So I know where you're going with it.
Okay.
Like we all felt it.
Good little call.
Good little call.
So while it was certainly the biggest upset of the college football season, buy or sell that it will not be the last time number one goes down this regular season.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll buy that. It won't be.
No, somebody else will get knocked off.
Yeah, look, I think we know that even, you know, Texas and Ohio State, I don't think there's a great team right now. And maybe one of those will develop, and maybe we find out that, you know, that Texas is rolling. Because so far, Texas hasn't been challenged, but no offense, the only game that they've played is Michigan. And I think we look at Michigan, and Michigan's the definition of a one-dimensional team. So, you know, maybe Ohio State, they'll get their test at Oregon. So they'll be someone. There'll be another number one team that will go down. I feel pretty good about that.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think Georgia – so Texas is getting ready to play Oklahoma.
Yep.
And then they play Georgia.
Yep.
And I have a feeling Georgia might beat Texas.
And then Vandy.
Oh, that's right.
Huh?
Texas has to go to Vandy.
Yeah.
So Texas will lose.
Yep.
Ohio State would then if you think Ohio State beats Oregon, which that's a big if.
Yeah.
Then they'd probably be number one. Then they have to go to Penn State in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So, and then if it's not, if Oregon beats Ohio State, then it's Oregon.
Yep.
And you think Oregon's going to go undefeated?
No, not the way they're playing. So I just think eventually, you know, whether someone...
And who is it after that? Miami? They'll lose?
Miami, yeah, it's a weird, funky year.
I'd be willing to bet that there is no undefeated team at the end of the season.
There usually is at least one, but, you know, I see where you're coming on that. But there, I think we're both on board with the another number one will go down. Feel pretty good about that.
Moving on to, elsewhere in the SEC, the Ole Miss post-game press conference with Lane Kiffin synced up with the end of that Vandy-Alabama game. Here's what that sounded like.
How would you assess just sort of the health of your team right now?
How many timeouts does Alabama have? one left.
They had all three a few minutes ago.
They have one left, 118. Huh? Sorry, I didn't. I mean, this is like a once in a lifetime thing going on. Better watch. You're not going to see it probably ever again.
Oh my God, this is great.
That's great.
That Lane Kiffin is great.
Yes.
So buy or sell that Lane Kiffin is the best press conference soundbite in sports right now.
Oh
yeah.
Overall.
I think he's best in college football, but is it in any sport?
Yeah, in general, man, you're not going to get a lot better than old Laner up there at the podium. He's great, and he's been great for a while, and I think we're just beginning to appreciate him. Like Gundy, you could throw him in there. You never know what that dude's going to go off on. But I'll give you. I love Lane Kiffin on the mic.
He's great, but I don't see enough. Like I want more of him after hearing that.
I know.
I don't see enough.
Well, the problem is it's Ole Miss, and you know when they lost, and they're kind of out of sight, out of mind. But yeah, Kiffin's just great on the mic.
Tells it like he seems like one of those coaches who's actually honest.
Yes.
as much as he can.
And he's not afraid to troll, and he's not afraid to have a good time. I am very much pro Lane Kiffin.
The other beauty of that moment was that was just a fan enjoying a big moment.
And that's what he said. He goes, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
You're never going to see this
again. How many times else has that
happened? A little bit of a thinly veiled shot at Vanderbilt, but okay. All right. If the winning streak is at one, see if they can continue
that's right. Well, someone pointed out that, that quarterback and that coach, when they were at New Mexico State, they took down Auburn. So basically, Pavarotti there, that guy owns the
Diego
state.
Diego Pavarotti.
Diego Pavarotti.
No one likes
it. The three tenors. That guy owns the state of Alabama.
Well, going just barely outside of the top 10, but an upset just the same. Minnesota and USC coming down to the wire. Here's how that sounded at the finish.
Moss to the end zone. Intercepted. Coy Parrish. And the Gophers beat USC 9 seconds away from doing that for the first time since 1955.
So a rough one there for the number 11 Trojans. I mean, the stats since 1955, it's not like they've played a lot. Yeah. So whatever to that.
Yeah,
but we are now at the point where Lincoln Riley, as the head coach of USC, is 22-10. Clay Helton was 23-9. Buy or sell that the USC Trojan program is in any better position than when they cut Helton loose?
Yes, they're in a better position. I think we believe, and by the way, they were in the title game 2 years ago for their conference, lost to Utah, and Williams got hurt. They've won a Heisman Trophy, no offense to Clay Helton. And, you know, this year they're taking their lumps, but they had some defections, obviously, in the transfer portal. Their defense is light years better than what it was. And I think from a talent acquisition standpoint, I still think they're a little bit behind. Lincoln Riley is a good builder, and I think he's a victim of his own success, and that they thought, and I was this way too, that they were going to get it turned around quicker than what they did. And I think the getting the Caleb Williams and the Jordan Addison, I think, put a Band-Aid on that at the beginning of it. And I think you're seeing a program that's going to take some time. But, dude, Clay Helton is not a good coach. Lincoln Riley is. And if USC keeps building this with the defense and Lincoln Riley gets a couple years and gets more of his guys, I don't know if USC ever gets back to where they were. Maybe Lincoln Riley never achieves the same sort of stuff that he did at Oklahoma. But USC is in a better place than when Clay Helton was there. I feel very confident about that.
As chairman of the Clay Helton is a good coach committee,
yeah,
I have to take umbrage with that commentary.
Go for it.
He's a good coach. I think it's very hard to win at USC, and we're finding that out. That said, it sure seems like they're kind of the same. Like when Clay Helton was there and now when Lincoln Riley. But I think that I would put it this way. If I had to bet on the next 5 years, obviously I would want Lincoln Riley to be the coach and not Clay Helton, if that makes sense. I think Clay Helton, actually, we probably owe him a little bit of an apology. I'm not saying he was perfect, but USC, it's a weird job. Lincoln Riley's finding that out. He is still in the process of building it back up. I have faith in him. I think he's really good. I'm with you on that. But, we've been talking them up, and here they go disappointing us yet again. Yeah. And Lincoln Riley should take some responsibility for
he
that.
He should, but having watched USC, I watched him play LSU, I watched him play Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And so I've seen hunks of those. The good is good. They're finding ways to lose games. They had no business, and I mean no business, losing to Michigan, and they shouldn't have lost to Minnesota. Now they did, and that if you want to put on Lincoln Riley for late game execution, all that stuff, perfectly fine with. USC is not a bad team. USC easily could get a pelt. Like, they've got Penn State next week. Watch them beat Penn State. USC easily could be undefeated at this point, but they're not, and that's on them. But USC is not some team that's floundering right now and is losing games, in spades and things are a disaster. That's a team that is just, they're sloppy and they don't execute very well
isn't that coaching?
In big game moments.
I mean, that's coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lincoln Riley's got to be better. And the expectations at USC are much higher.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't be losing games at Minnesota. We were talking on Friday about that game, and I'm not pooping on the Gophers because I think PJ Fleck's a good coach, good fit for that program. But that's a game when you when these West Coast teams go into the Big Ten.
Yep.
That game right there, those are the type of games you got to pull those out, dude. Yep. You don't have much margin for error against the Penn States and the Ohio States of the world.
Nope.
You have to win that game right there, and you had it, and you blew it.
Yep.
That's just, man, it's inexcusable, and it's the difference between, you know, they're not going to have a special season.
No.
It doesn't seem. You're right; they could knock off Penn State, but that, you know, you can't. I don't know. They're just disappointing. They're always freaking disappointing.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Riley should take some ownership of that. It's like at Kansas right now. Kansas is 1-5.
Yeah.
Look, Lance Leipold, everybody freaking loved him in the offseason. They paid a bunch of money to keep him. But guess what? This is his problem now. They're terrible. They're 1-5.
Yeah.
That's on him. Same with Lincoln Riley. He's going to have to prove it over the next several years.
I'm just surprised at this point that I look at and USC's defense. You know, it's the offense that let him down in that game. And, you know, Miller Moss, for all his, you know, he's got bad turnovers in the Michigan and in the Minnesota game, and well, two of them, and it's been killers.
I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed in in Riley.
Yeah.
Overall at USC.
100%.
I think he can turn it around, but
100%.
And I don't think they should fire him. I think they should keep him.
Yeah.
I think that's a good hire. Let him build. Yeah. But, man, they just continue to let you down.
100% agree.
All right, are we done there, Mr. Buckley?
Well, dealer's choice. We can do one more, or we can get right to in the news, as we're a little bit behind.
Well, I want one more.
Fair enough.
I'm greedy.
Yeah. Let's move to Sunday in the NFL, where the Denver Broncos snapped an 8-game losing streak to division rival Las Vegas, or I guess the Raiders, because it was combined Oakland and Las Vegas over that losing streak. But Bo Nix, a winner again. He got into a heated exchange with Sean Payton on the sidelines and was asked about it after the game.
Bo, there was a very lively conversation with you and Sean Payton after that 45-yard incompletion there. What was going on there, and why were you so heated about it?
Yeah, well, he turned and looked at me and said, "I love you," and I turned and said, "I love you back."
I bet that's not what he said.
No.
Buy or sell that Bo's joke-telling combined with his yelling at his head coach and beating a division rival indication that he's becoming comfortable as an NFL starter?
No, boy, I'm gonna sell that. There's a ton of problems in Denver still. The Raiders might be the worst team in the NFL this side of the Carolina Panthers. And I know they've won a couple in a row, but remember, he against the Jets, he completed like
bad.
Eight passes.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, and
weather.
Bad weather.
Bad weather.
You know, and Sean Payton explained it. He said that, he said after the game, he said Bo Nix has too much Ferris Bueller in him. That he kind of.
I heard him say that. What does he mean by that?
He says that, and then someone asked for clarification. He said that Ferris just does what he wants to do, and he's like, I got to beat it out of him. He wants. Look,
that sounds so un-Bo Nix, too.
Yeah, he wants Bo Nix to do exactly what Sean Payton wants him to do. He does not want him ad-libbing. He does not want him changing
things.
That's
why he drafted him.
Yes.
He wants a robot. There's a guy that will do what I can coach this guy.
He thought he was drafting and Cameron, and he got Ferris.
And let's be honest, Bo at this point should not be ad-libbing anything. But, you know, it's getting better, and their defense is great. Look, at this point, is Bo Nix a comfortable starting quarterback? I'm not going to say that. But I think even though it was against the Raiders, there were steps in the right direction.
He's improving.
So it's a progress, but is he comfortable? No. No.
Yeah, I'm going to sell your stock, but I agree with Suk that he's improving. We were talking to Joey while you were away, and he said the biggest, you know, the next step is with Bo Nix is, one, he comes out and he turns it over a lot.
Yeah.
The next thing you want to see is stop turning it over. Well, he did do that.
Yes.
And then the next thing you want to see after that is you want to see him start throwing touchdown passes. Well, he is. Caleb Williams is doing that.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels is doing that. And now Bo Nix is starting to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's fully comfortable. I would really like to know, though, what that exchange was about. Did Nix even say, hey...
Payton went on, and you can find it. Payton went on and described that it was Bo checking out of something that Sean Payton did not want him to check out of. And I think
Nix was passionately pleading as to why he checked out of it.
Yes.
Here's what I saw.
Yes. And I guess this was the multiple times that it's done. And Sean Payton basically said, you bleepity bleep, don't.
Yeah. We don't want you doing that.
Think about
You're
it.
You're not good enough.
Yes. It's a pitcher who's a young pitcher shaking off a veteran catcher. Salvi Perez does not like it when Davis does not want Nuke shaking off his pitches.
To bring it back to sports radio, the program director tells me this all the time. He's like, Rob, why are you going off script?
Yes.
You're not good enough.
You are our Bo Nix.
Goldberg Jones, when it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. That is our Stock Watch each Monday at 4:15.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, starting to trickle in for Monday Night Football up here at A&A. Chiefs, Saints tonight. Royals, Yankees, the other baseball game going, just started. And so we're watching sports.
Yes.
That's Big Sook right over there.
We got some sort
See, look at Rodon. You know, look.
What?
Well, we've got another baseball douche.
There's a lot of douche.
Carlos Rodon at the Yankees.
There's a lot of
Calm
douche.
Calm down, dude. You struck out the first two batters.
Well, can we just say that baseball has never, and I don't know what this is, baseball has never been douchier. Prove me wrong.
I think they've allowed a lot more flamboyance into the game.
Yes.
And that's, so is that it? That leads to douchiness. But I'm okay with the flashes of it, but. You know,
yeah, it's every team has one.
Every strikeout,
every team has one. Like, I love my Mets, but I'm sorry, Winker is as big a douche as anyone in baseball. He's my douche. Every team, you're telling me the Royals don't have a douche?
I was trying to think of who our biggest one is, and I don't.
Are you blinded? Well, are you blinded from the douche?
I just don't know enough about. I mean, I would say Bobby Witt, but he's wonderful because he's the one I know the most about.
You could never say anything bad about Bobby
he's,
Witt.
But he's not douchey. I would admit, look, George Brett,
yeah,
that's my guy.
That's
douchey.
True.
Yeah. He's a douchebag. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a D.
He is.
But it always has been.
Yeah.
And I think he just, at this point, it's just a bit. But Bobby Witt's wonderful. I don't know. I guess one of our guys will probably put their douche on display at some point here.
And you'll be forced to reconcile
soon. We do have Seth Lugo. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Former Met.
Yeah, Lugo's a douche.
Is he?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Lugo's a douche.
He doesn't seem it.
He's a douche.
He seems like just like a, seems like a girl dad.
A Midwest girl dad. Well, again, your douche will arise. Give it time. It's bound to happen.
Well,
someone will make a random strikeout in the fourth inning and act like they just saved the world, and you'll be like, oh, boy.
Well, that's what Carlos Rodon of the Yankees just did. Yeah. Right now, I would say the Phillies are leading the douche rankings.
Oh, it's not even close.
For the postseason.
Not even close.
Well, I think it is close. I think the Padres are close.
I'll tell you, that whole scene out in left field was a little rough.
Well, that wasn't on the Padres, though. It's more Machado being Tatis and those
guys. And the
guys.
Dodgers having the worst fans in baseball?
The Dodgers do have the worst fans in baseball, coming from a Giants fan.
Shocker.
But
shocker.
You know, we'll put together the final douche rankings when it's all said and done. There's a lot of douche left.
Yes, there is. Plenty of douche to go around.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot, though, from the Tigers just yet.
No.
Makes me like them.
Well, maybe that's the good Midwest sensibilities, you in Kansas City.
It is October 7, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Inner Beauty Day.
Oh, there you go.
So have you found your inner beauty?
Still waiting on that one.
Are you channeling your inner beauty, Jace? Well,
I've been working on channeling my outer beauty. It's not working, so maybe I tune to the inside.
Uh-huh. This is exactly why inner beauty is a thing.
Yeah.
It's for the uglies.
I'm spiritually thin. How about that?
It is also bathtub day. When's the last time you spent time in a bathtub?
I don't know. 30 years?
Do we need bathtubs?
I have a hot tub. Like, that's kind of like...
Do we need bathtubs?
They're pretty functional for kids. I'll give it that.
No,
that's true.
Yeah.
Kids and olds.
Doesn't it make more sense?
Well, not really olds.
No, olds fall in the
bath. Hose them down?
Maybe kids and...
Kids are still laying in a pool of their own filth.
Kids and drunk housewives?
Kids and drunk housewives. There you go. But again, why... Everyone's like, well, I like for a soak. Why not just get a hot tub?
Right.
The hot tub is a bathtub,
well,
but...
because it's more expensive.
That's true.
That's why.
Yeah, well, I like hot
tub. You should know that. Yeah. Your car is burning on the freeway. What do you do?
Hey, I haven't had it in the freeway, but my car did catch on fire once.
Nice.
And apparently I made the mistake of trying to put it out. They said just let it burn. It's better for the insurance company, and you're not going to do it. Like, even if you put it out, like, what are you going to do?
Well,
just
I think
walk away and let it burn.
I think I told you the story. My first car was a 1965 Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
A red Mustang.
Yeah.
And caught fire in McDonald's parking lot.
Yeah.
Never saw it again.
That was my first car. Was at an apartment complex. My buddy's like, dude, I think your car is on fire. I'm like, oh. Now, to be fair, I knew I was driving around with a head gasket that was cracked. I didn't have the money to repair it. So I was like, how bad could it be? Turns out, very bad.
So in Everett, Washington, a man was arrested and charged with DUI after the vehicle he was driving erupted into flames early Friday morning. This on I-5.
It's not good.
But the reason I bring this story to your attention is that there is a photo of the man. Mm. It appears to be captured by some sort of camera on the freeway, like a business camera or something, on a building. And the driver was taking a selfie.
And oh, really?
With his burning car.
Oh, well, I mean.
Yes.
I will say that it's not often that you're. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. See that?
Well, I mean, to be fair.
Kind of a big fella.
Yeah, and can we be honest? It's like in the world of selfies and like you got to post something for the gram. It's kind of a cool photo. That's a big fire.
Yeah, and I mean, look.
Yeah, I mean,
we talk a lot about selfies and like why do people, you know, put your phone down.
Yeah.
At the same time, like there's not a lot you can do. I mean, he's out. He's not in danger.
No.
He's out of the car.
Yeah.
It's burst into flames.
Yeah, big old ball.
There's nothing happening. The cops aren't there yet.
You know you're going to prison.
I mean, a photo might be the way to go.
Maybe, like, I don't know where you find, you know, because you think you're at rock bottom, and then you find out there's a whole new world below. You're like, oh, look at this. Maybe this is his rock bottom. Maybe it's a nice little reminder of, hey, remember that night I got S-House, drank, and then caught my car on fire and went to prison? I'm going to remember that forever. And, like, you know, you put that up, like, on a clean and sober sort of program and, you know, kind of turn your life around.
Yeah, he's doing court in May. Wait, May? Oh, never mind.
Like, when the firefighters show up, like, you're just like, ah. Do we know why the car caught on fire? Did he?
No.
No.
They don't know. But they put out the fire and arrested him right on the spot.
Yeah, it's tough.
Then they took a selfie with him.
Kink.
Hey, I've got bluefin tuna news.
Oh, all right.
The largest wicked tuna ever caught in Oregon was captured this past weekend.
I bet someone took a selfie with it.
They did. And look, as a non-fish guy,
yeah,
it's big, but it's like,
oh, really? Are you poo-pooing?
Well, I mean, you know, I expected bigger. When they say largest ever,
yeah,
I mean, it's 164 pounds.
Mm. Well, because I think
a bluefin.
I think you're used to seeing, I think it's the yellowfin, like the giant, like 800-pound tuna.
Like where it's hanging from the thing.
Yeah.
This guy's just holding it up.
Yeah.
So you're
getting caught up in the different types of tuna.
Yeah.
That's a big tuna.
This was in Garibaldi. 164-pound bluefin certified on the scale of Captain's Corner. Barnes Cooper of Hillsboro has been targeting large tunas for years, both in SoCal and for the past three seasons in Garibaldi. And it is believed to be the largest ever landed in Oregon. We do not keep records here for saltwater fish, but Washington's record is only 92 pounds. This is nearly double that.
Oh.
California, though, 395 pounds.
Interesting. Now, the Western Atlantic bluefin can go 13 feet and up to 2,000 pounds.
Damn.
So,
see, now that's a fish.
Yes, and they are the most endangered of the three bluefin. There's three types of bluefin. This apparently is, you know.
Oh, wait.
It's a little bit of the lesser bluefin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cool, but the guy who caught it was George Stavrakis of Sherwood.
Mm.
That's the guy who should get the credit.
Okay.
The other guy, Cooper, Barnes Cooper, that was his boat. But George reeled it in.
That's a nice tuna, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm with you.
Good tuna.
I will tell you that if I heard record-breaking tuna and then I saw that photo,
yeah,
I'm with you.
You're like, ah.
I'd be like, I didn't think about it. Yeah. But you see that all the time when you see, like, record bass or whatnot. It's a little, you know, because we're used to seeing giant tuna or giant marlin, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's all about perspective.
I have stuffed in suitcase news.
I don't think you want anything stuffed. That's never good.
Maybe I won't present that. I don't know.
Is there a body involved?
I mean, yeah. You can infer.
Yeah, when I hear stuffed in suitcase, I'm not guessing that someone stuffed delicious treats and then handed them out to needy boys and girls.
Aaron Judge just struck out again.
The bum.
My God, he's terrible. Isn't he supposed to be good?
I heard, yeah. I heard he's pretty good at baseball.
You know, he's hitting .206 in his career in the postseason.
Ooh. Has he got a little Barry Bonds going on?
Well, you tell me. Bond, 206.
Bond stunk forever in the postseason until he had the one World Series.
All right. When we come back, best foodie city in America is next on The Fan. All right. This is in the news for October 7, 2024. We have made it to Ohio State-Oregon week.
Yes, we have. Undefeated, as we predicted.
The spread is out.
One a little bumpier than the other, but yes. It's stabilized.
My two big hot college football predictions at the start of the year, as you can remember, Ohio State and Oregon will be undefeated when they play.
Yep.
And Army and Navy will also be undefeated for the first time since 1945.
Do Army and Navy have a loss yet? Either one of them?
No, I just said
that.
So they're both undefeated.
Okay.
First time since 1945.
Well,
please try to pay attention.
Well, I saw, or I didn't know, I knew Oregon and Ohio State were. I was not certain that Army and Navy both were.
Well, like I said earlier, we have 12 teams that are currently undefeated. And the 12-team playoff would include, if you had all of them in the playoff, Army and Navy.
Except Army and Navy have to play each other at the end, so, you know, can't be both undefeated. Let me just say for the record, suck it, Army, go Navy.
And the last story I have for you here, Portland ranked among the best foodie cities in the United States, as we should be.
Yes.
But we did not win this one. This is a new study from personal finance website WalletHub.
Oh.
And they rank the best foodie cities in the United States. Portland, number 2.
We are very foodie-esque. The BTJ, my gal, big foodie. And she's constantly going around to some sort of new farm-to-table, you know, where the the restaurants, you know, cooktops are powered by their own sense of self-worth. It's a lot of those places here in Oregon.
Hey, there's a lot of good food here.
There is. There's also a lot of pretentious food.
So foodie. So this says they describe being a foodie, the term foodie, as gourmet dining enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Foodie culture isn't limited to restaurants, but also includes foodies who enjoy trying new and unique flavors in their own kitchens and less prominent establishments such as food carts. So to determine the best and cheapest foodie scenes, Wallet Hub compared over 180 cities. Seven factors: cost of groceries, accessibility to high-quality restaurants, and the number of food festivals per capita, among other things. Number one was Miami, Florida.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
I can see that.
Little Cuban flair.
Yeah, I can see that. Miami, I've been a handful of times. I'll say this. The parts of Miami that are good are amazing. I don't want anything to do with Miami. I found it weird. It's very strange. It's
like a whole other world.
It is.
Down there.
It's very, very unique. I would say that, like, New Orleans to me is the most interesting, unique place in the United States. There's not another place like it. Miami has some of that, where it just, you immediately know you're in Miami, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Other top five cities include San Francisco, Orlando, and Tampa.
Really?
Three from Florida.
Tampa, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time since I've lived there. I wouldn't necessarily think of Tampa, but maybe things have changed.
And they're saying Portland. I said second. Sorry, it ranks fourth. They put Portland fourth because of our diverse, high-quality culinary offerings and our accessibility to food lovers from upscale dining to street food. That is the other thing about Portland, is that while we are a very foodie city, and that to some is intimidating because then there's like, oh, it's snobby or whatever.
Yeah.
Portland has some of the best,
yes,
cheapest,
yes,
food that you'll find, and of all different cuisines, yeah, in the country. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg for great food here.
You do not. One of my favorite places, it's right down the street from my buddy's house. We go there all the time. And it's not expensive, is Oma's. And it's like a Malaysian street food place.
Oma's Hideaway. It's outstanding.
It is incredible. That is such good food, and yet it's, you know, you're there. I don't think there's anything on the menu that's probably more than $30, but it is a diner, and the city is full of places,
yep,
like that.
Full of them.
Yes.
There's your In the News, brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com, October 7, 2024. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next here live from A&A. We'll be right back. Isaac and Souk on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.